This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at YouTube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb? In for Dan Patrick, Fox Sports Radio. My guy Dan Beyer. Iowa Sam on the ones and twos today. And, of course, the esteemed producing talents of Jason Stewart. Alongside, you can hear The Doug Gottlieb Show every day, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, 12 to 2 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. We have a new Masters champion. A weird way in which Tiger Woods exited Augusta. The NBA playoffs, including the play-in series, has been set. And I don't know if you call it backing into the playoffs or what the hell's going on in Minnesota, but we got to talk about it. They had themselves a day. They had themselves a day. We'll get to the Wolves. Carson Palmer is making some news in his football analysis. We'll get to that. But let's start with some news in the NFL, which is, it's a bit of a plot twist, right? So, of the guys out there who are free agent wide receivers, Odell Beckham Jr., without any question, is the biggest name. Now, I don't know what he's going to look like in an NFL uniform. Remember, there was a ton of hype about him in the middle to the end of the season. The thought was he was going to sign with the Dallas Cowboys or somebody, and then he wasn't actually cleared to play. Then after the year, remember parading kind of around the league throughout the season, including showing up at the Rams victory celebration and ring ceremony for their first game, but he was at other games as well. He kind of had like a Where's Waldo sort of thing. Like, what was Odell Beckham Jr. doing here? Then there was talk, Odell Beckham Jr., he wants $20 million, and no one signed him. People went and saw him worked out. Then it was last week, $15 million. Now it's a one-year deal, which could be worth up to $18 million. We'll see what the actual details of it are. But he signs with the Baltimore Ravens. Like, huh, Baltimore Ravens. Wait. Is Lamar Jackson their quarterback or not their quarterback? And why would you do this? And I have a hypothesis, okay? Hypothesis is not a theory. Right? I mean, it's one of the few things that I picked up from elementary school that I remember, right? Theory is something that's been proven over time. And Dan Beyer, here's the hypothesis.
All right.
The hypothesis is the Ravens are trying as hard as they can to, one, do it their way and change this entire narrative of, you know, the Ravens haven't surrounded him with good enough players. Now, you and I have discussed this on my show before, which is like, look, you can say whatever you want about how much they should pay him and how many years guaranteed and how they handled it. I believe, you know, Rashad Bateman going back to 2021, drafted as a wide receiver in the first round. In 2020, second round, J.K. Dobbins. Now, he got hurt, but J.K. Dobbins, a great pass-catching running back. You look at Marquise Brown the year before, first-round draft pick. They even took Miles Boykin in the third round. You know, and this is after drafting Lamar Jackson in the first round, surrounding him with Mark Andrews, and they, of course, they've since parted companies with Hayden Hurst. The point is that they're trying to say, look, we've given him everything, and we've given him a three-year guaranteed contract at the same type of money of all the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. Lamar Jackson not wanting to play for us is a Lamar Jackson decision, not a Ravens decision. So like OBJ apparently FaceTime with Lamar Jackson. And I do think that people are like, well, he wouldn't have signed there. Lamar Jackson, like Odell Beckham Jr. just trying to get paid, man. He didn't care. But I think this shifts a lot of the power to the hand of the Ravens, which is, hey, look, man, you're still under contract with us for $32 million and change. We'd still like to re-sign you long term. We're surrounding you. You still have Andrews, Dobbins. You still have Rashad Bateman. Now you have Odell Beckham Jr. You know, you're going to have Ronnie Stanley back, who's been hurt at left tackle, who we paid more than anybody else. We've given you everything. All you got to do is come here and play, and we'll give you a gigantic three-year guaranteed contract. I think it's about power and control, and the Ravens tried to retake it with the move yesterday.
Yeah, I think it's optics, because I don't know why you would give Odell Beckham Jr. $15 million guaranteed coming off of his second ACL surgery. I think you could ask Lamar Jackson and say, would you rather have this $15 million that we were going to give you, or should we use that to go sign Odell Beckham Jr.? I don't think the situation with Lamar changes either. To your point of where this is, it seems like it's almost window dressing in a way. Of looking to your point of saying, hey, we've done everything that we can. He just brought in a free agent wide receiver again that is coming off of his second knee surgery, couldn't play at the end of last year despite being rumored everywhere, and then on top of that, didn't really get a discount on it. It's the only thing that it can be. He's not the missing piece between the Ravens in a Super Bowl or an AFC championship game. So what's the actual value in it?
No, that's a great way to look at it. It's almost like, I'm trying to think, you know, it's like getting a name brand car that's a used car. You're like, hey man, got you a Lexus. Like, it's a 2008, right? Like the Bluetooth is like first gen Bluetooth, you know? And OBJ, to call him first gen Bluetooth would be unfair. It's more like a 2018 or 2017, you know. Yes. You're like, well, yeah, you know, I have a 2017 and I have a nice car, but it's got 200,000 miles on it, right? Which is a lot like Odell Beckham Jr. It's an incredible car when it's running right, but it's had two ACL surgeries and a broken leg and all kinds of other issues. But I guess the question becomes, and now you turn to Lamar Jackson, like, hey, dude, look. You're under contract for at least this year. And honestly, they can have you under contract for next year. Your choices are to sit out, receive substantial fines. But whenever you play, you're going to play on the franchise tag unless you sign a long-term extension. And if you, or come and play and you got all these guys with you.
Sure.
Like, I think it's a little bit of a control thing, not just window dressing.
When you look at what the options are for Lamar, and apparently there are none outside of Baltimore, it's almost like Baltimore understands that Lamar is going to be resigned to the fact of he's going to have to play in Baltimore, despite asking for the trade last month, despite saying that he, you know, wanted a fresh start in a different organization, and now having that transition tag, it is how do we then make this work? Like, that could be the other just aspect of it, of he's going to end up having to come back because there is no way anybody is going to offer him an offer sheet. It's just not going to happen. Maybe they tested the waters and decided, all right, that's the case. And then they'll try to figure this all out at the end of next season, and making the best case possible, best case scenario to make it work for at least next season.
That's I mean, I think that's the best case scenario for the Ravens.
I just like this whole meeting with the Jets that OBJ had scheduled for today, where I think you could make an argument of why do the Jets need him? You brought in Alan Lazard. You brought in Mecole Hardman. You have Breece Hall coming back from his ACL. And Garrett Wilson's your number one target, you know, even when Aaron Rodgers comes there. Odell Beckham Jr. is not going to elevate to number one. So this whole, like, why do you keep OBJ out of New York or out of that Jets meeting? Like, why do you give him the amount of money that you want? I'm trying to be cautious in the words of overpaying. I just think $15 million with incentives up to $18 million for a situation is just a little high. I just don't understand why let's, you know, we're not going to let him out of the building, Doug. We cannot let Odell Beckham Jr. out of the building. You actually can.
Value-wise. I understand, but I'm with you. I'm there with you. But you got to also understand now that OBJ does have a different kind of gravitational pull. He has a different sort of star feel. And, you know, look, they've done this before. They had Steve Smith Sr., right, where he comes over from Carolina. Remember didn't they bring Deion Sanders out of retirement?
Yes.
They've done a little bit of this before, but here's the... Anyone who argues that the Ravens, they didn't want Lamar. Like, no, they offered him a 5-year, $200+ million contract. No, they didn't offer him, you know, anywhere in the range of the top level quarterbacks. No, by Lamar's own admission, it was 3 years, 133, which puts him right there in the middle of the Josh Allen sort of deal. Well, they remember Lamar, by all reports, he was kind of done playing in Greg Roman's offense. Not sure if people are aware, but they went and got Todd Monken from Georgia. It's going to be more of a traditional pro-style offense where he can run and kind of scramble within it, not as much design runs as previously. Oh, well, they've never given him the weapons. Like, dude, now you have a first-round draft pick who's like in his third year at one on one side. You got OBJ on the other side, and then you got the highest or second highest paid tight end in the league in Mark Andrews, and you have J.K. Dobbins, who's an excellent pass catcher out of the backfield. Like, we've given you everything you could have wanted. And, oh, yeah, by the way, like, I've been honest on my show. Some people have been a little bit disingenuous. If you miss 11 games the past 2 years, especially 11 games during crunch time, playoff time, when you need to be playing football, you know, it's going to hurt your value, not just to the Ravens, but to anybody in the league. And so there's a really kind of honest conversation here. Like, hey, look, Lamar, we get what you want, okay? But there's no market for it out there. There just isn't. That's what we did. There's zero market for it. So if you don't want to sign the extension, okay, you're under contract for this year's franchise tag, and we're going to give you all these weapons. We'll give you a new offense. All you got to do is show up and see how it goes. And worst case scenario, you make $33 million, we're in the same position next year, and we figure out how to move on. Best case scenario, you go out, you're the MVP of the league, and now we got to break all kinds of records to keep you, or somebody else will. Like, I think that's a real conversation you have.
Man, I still don't think they gave him what he wants. I don't know if it's the equivalent of pizza at work instead of a raise. Which, by the way, is 20% of my TikTok feed for some reason. Hey, guess what? Look at this. Here's some pizza. Sorry, can't do this. Can't do that. They're saying, hey, look, we got OBJ, but I want the fully guaranteed contract. Well, we can't do that. That's why Lamar really doesn't have a lot of options except to go back to Baltimore or to not play. And to give, you know, to give Odell Beckham Jr. this amount of money, for just one season, by the way. That's the other thing, Doug. Like, if it works out in the scenario that you play out, Odell Beckham Jr. is a free agent after next season.
Sure. And then I think that's smart, by the way, for the Ravens.
Yeah, yeah. It's also smart where, you look on the other back end of it, it gives you every reason to move on if it doesn't work out. If Lamar gets hurt again, if there isn't a connection.
They say all good things come to those who wait. Mercedes-Benz SUVs proves otherwise. It takes no time to set up a test drive at your local Mercedes-Benz dealer. Learn more at mbusa.com. Doug Gottlieb and Dan Beyer, along with Jason Stewart, in for Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio, plus the Danettes, all on vacation this week. Do you see this where Jeremy Fowler says Lamar not considered a top five quarterback by GMs he's talked to? I believe he fell out of the top 10 heading into last year. And I think that's actually reasonable. Like, we're still working on dated data. It's like, well, he's the MVP of the league. Like, yeah, that was a while ago. You know? It's hard to tell. Now, he's the most inaccurate passer of any starter, opening day starter in the NFL last year. He's still obviously dynamic with his legs, but he has been hurt the past 2 years. And, you know, you got Herbert, Burrow, Mahomes, Josh Allen. Go ahead.
I'd put Jalen Hurts. I'd be more comfortable in giving Jalen Hurts a deal than Lamar Jackson a deal.
Well, I mean, like, look, everyone is all in on Jalen Hurts now. I wasn't before the season. I don't know, like, what would Lamar Jackson look like with that surrounding cast. But to your point, Jalen Hurts has better talent around him, but has been far more efficient with that better talent around him, right? He's not the runner of Lamar, but he's improved more as a passer in a shorter period of time than Lamar has.
Yeah, still with the threat to run.
Oh, he's still, and now we're going to see with that team, right? When you have new coordinators, probably a new offensive line, you're going to miss some pieces. But I think not having him as a top five, what's interesting is, what do you do with Russell Wilson, right? Where does he fit in this? What do you do with Aaron Rodgers, who'd forever be in the top five, but didn't play well last year, you know? And then kind of you look around the league, you're like, okay, who else really is there that jumps out at you that you know is going to be elite? Like Matt Stafford, we have no idea what that'll look like when he comes back from injury. He wasn't great before he got hurt, and you know, he's been, I mean, he had an injury that some people thought it would be career threatening.
You know, this is again the dilemma, though, with Lamar, is the accolades and the accomplishments outweigh many quarterbacks in the National Football League. But that's not why you're giving him the long-term deal. That's not why you're giving him the amount of money. You're trying to guess on what's ahead, because if he just did on what had just happened, you're doing bad business.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so difficult is, you know what, maybe you can make an argument for him being number five or make him in the top seven or top nine for what's gone on. But looking forward and where you're going and what you're trying to do, I think that he falls down those lists because of the injury history and the threat of that.
Yeah, I think all that's fair. I think having this fair discussion. Look, he's super talented. I think he's the best running quarterback we've ever seen. He will throw a great deep ball. It's always been the underneath intermediate stuff outside the numbers. And we'll see. But the question is, will we see this year in Baltimore? I think we both agree that even if it's pizza at work, I like pizza at work. And if I'm already getting paid and there's nowhere else that's going to pay me, that's the point. You're like, hey, we can't pay you here. To this point, no one has stepped up and said they're going to pay him what he believes he's worth.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests. And in tournaments, to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Do you want to know how long I've been doing this? Doug Gottlieb for Dan Patrick, Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. So, Iowa Sam, he plays the music, right? So, Jay Stu, I think Rick Bucher is going to join us right now. Doug Gottlieb and Dan Beyer, my man Jason Stewart, we're all in for Dan Patrick. Dan and the Danettes off this week. Do you remember doing a portion of a segment on this song, Rick Bucher?
If it had to do with my college experience, yes.
Okay, here's what it has to do with. I used to have you on my show. I think it was back in the game night days. And we used to ask him one musical question a week. And what you guys don't know about Bucher was college soccer star at Dartmouth, right? So I'm guessing...
Star is a little bit of a stretch, but okay.
Wait, what?
Star is a little bit of a stretch, but okay, I'll take it.
No film or stats exist. Just roll with it, okay? Somebody's calling you a star. Anyway, so he's wicked smart. Wicked smart. Plus, you spend time at Dartmouth, you're going to spend a lot of time drinking beer and a lot of time by yourself in your room listening to music while you're studying, right? And so you used to tell me the like what songs mean. We'd have you on once a week. And this was about a guy who ran a club and he didn't like the music that loud. And I think that's literally what it was. Sharif don't like it. Rock the Casbah.
Yeah.
But you had like the actual club and actually what it was about. Like you did a little research.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive stuff. Pretty impressive stuff.
Yeah. I'm a little wacky like that.
Little wacky what's going on in Minnesota. Rudy Gobert punches his teammate, now bringing into doubt whether he'll play in the play-in game. And then, of course, Jaden McDaniels is walking off the court. He punches a wall, breaking his hand, knowing he won't play in the playoff game. Did you know there was frustration or this much frustration in the Twin Cities?
I didn't know that there was this much frustration just because guys punching walls and punching each other and huddles is a little beyond. I mean, obviously, the pressure of the situation escalated. I didn't know that this was, and as Chris Finch, the head coach, referenced, that it was an immature team in a lot of ways, coming from some surprising places. That's why I thought the impact of Mike Conley having him rather than D'Angelo Russell was going to have a positive effect on the team. And it did until you got Carl Anthony Towns back and you had to fit that into the equation. But in the big picture, I'm I'm not that surprised. I am disappointed because I just think the Timberwolves on paper have a ton of potential in spite of trying to figure out how you're going to make Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns number one work. But so we'll see where it goes from here. But I'm not overly shocked. The other part is not only the immaturity, but the lack of leadership. I mean, this has really been sort of a rudderless ship. And Chris Finch is a nice guy, and I think he's a good coach, but he's not a confrontational type guy. And so you look around, and Mike Conley has come in and had that impact, but he's not that overbearing type of personality to pull everybody in line. And so what you had was Kyle Anderson, who's a team leader, trying to get Rudy Gobert to do what he needs to do. Rudy, for being as big as he is, as well paid as he is, as experienced as he is, still he's probably one of the most immature guys on that team. And so that's the rub. You have one of you have the guy you went out and got. You have the guy who's highly paid, and he's a little goofy, as we know, going back to the whole COVID incident. And that really hasn't changed since he's been in Minnesota.
At least he fought a teammate instead of a wall. At least is that, because the wall is undefeated. But are things actually falling in place for the Lakers? Now when you look at, now they have Minnesota in the play-in tournament, how are things falling for the Lakers now that the postseason is here?
I think they're falling in place as much as they can. I'm still not sold on the overall ability of the team. Like, they didn't just put Utah away in spite of Utah not playing anybody. And we could say the same for the Clippers in terms of playing a Phoenix team that wasn't playing any stars. But I just don't know how much better the Lakers can play. And I'll be real, and I'm fascinated to find out, push comes to shove, what happens. Because this is why you don't want to get into play-in. Because for one night, if the Timberwolves come correct, they can win this game. Like, even in spite of everything, there's some matchups there that are going to be difficult for the Lakers. Now, just considering that they are discombobulated, I would expect that the Lakers are going to win. But so now you have to win the play-in, and now you're going to play Memphis, who they play as fast as any team in the league, might be the top defensive team in the Western Conference.
They're going to get run off the court, Buke, and remember they're going to have to play. They're going to have to play. Like, this is the whole thing where there's two parts to it, because I want to get to the Palinka element to it. But in terms of the look, it's great that they rescued their season. They played really good basketball, but you got to play an extra game on older legs. Like, they were completely out of gas this week playing the Clippers, you know, because it was 5 and 7 nights. Like, what do you think is going to happen when they go play Memphis with those young legs in front of just a raucous atmosphere? Like, they're going to run you off the court.
Yeah, that's what I would expect. And the other part is that you really have to dial in and get ready for Minnesota. So you have to spend that time to get ready for the Timberwolves and then turn around and dive into a 7-game series with the Memphis Grizzlies. Meanwhile, Memphis Grizzlies are just dialing in to what they want to do with you. And this is the great distinction that happens in the postseason, and why sometimes you take what happens in the regular season as evidence and sometimes you have to throw it away, which is now you really get the opportunity to kind of exploit a team's weaknesses. And the Memphis Grizzlies are going to be very prepared to do that. I mean, short of it is, I would expect that the Lakers can get it done against Minnesota. I don't see how they get past the Memphis Grizzlies.
Everybody's got amnesia, right? Last time Lakers in the playoffs, they were talking all that ish to Phoenix, right? Backing them down. Anthony Davis gets hurt, and LeBron James couldn't carry the team, and they get beat in the playoffs. That was the last time they played in the playoffs. But it's like, oh, you don't want to run up on LeBron in the playoffs. Like, okay, Phoenix did. That was 2 years ago. He's not better now than he was then. All right, let's stick with the Lakers. Rick Bucher, Fox Sports 1, FoxSports.com, joining us. I made the case, like, look, I don't think the Westbrook acquisition was mostly him. Did he do the deal? Yes, but as we have come to learn, and you would know way better than I would, I don't think that he was pushing for that deal. He was pushing for other deals. But to unwind that deal, not do it over the offseason, do it in the middle of the season, and then the team to play better, and they play better without LeBron, too. I don't know if he's GM of the year, right? I mean, you go to Sacramento, they've done a great job going back to their offseason. But it really feels like Pelinka solidified his cases as being the GM of the Lakers for a long time.
Well, that's good. He did sign an extension, and I would agree with you on all counts. It wasn't his first thought to do the Westbrook deal, and what he did at the trade deadline still amazes me, because Vanderbilt and Beasley were, in talking to the scouts and GMs around the league, like, those were the prized possessions that everybody was looking to get. And the fact that he wound up with them is, and how they fit, I give him high marks, as much abuse as Pelinka has taken. Now, look, and hasn't done everything right, but he certainly hasn't deserved the grief that he's received. And to your point, look, when you got clutch clients and you got LeBron James, you're going to be, this is the compromise that you make. And this is a difficult compromise. It used to be, if you did LeBron's bidding, it kept him happy. The pieces generally made sense, and he was going to get you where you wanted to go. So you took it, you followed their blueprint, and you were going to get the dividends. At some point it was going to come boomerang on you, but you know, you could enjoy the success in the short term. LeBron just can't guarantee you that anymore.
No,
he's he's asking for, he's reaching now for those things, trying to compensate for what he can't do. And that's how you got into the Russ Westbrook situation in the first place, because he's looking at AD not being as aggressive and forward as everybody had hoped he would be under LeBron. And so you go and get Westbrook, who is all of that, thinking that, I mean, everybody seems to have amnesia about this too, right? It was Westbrook was going to kick AD's ass, and that was going to get him going and get his motor going. LeBron was putting Instagram posts out there of him and Westbrook working out together. Like, he was all in on this because it was his choice. And now, when it turns around, it's like, you know what? Pelinka shouldn't have said yes to what LeBron wanted. I'm like, okay, well, like, what? But that's what happens in LeBron world. So we've learned to live with it.
What's the first thing the Mavericks have to address now that their offseason is here?
Wow. It is figuring out what it's going to cost you to keep Kyrie. And I don't take anything from the fact that he didn't do an exit interview with the media. If he didn't do an exit interview with the Mavs, which I haven't heard was the case, that would be different. But I'm actually working on a piece right now about why players in the league have such a disparate view, admire and respect Kyrie in a way that most media and a lot of fans don't. And one of the simplest answers is he treats the media and some fans dramatically different than he does his fellow players. And it's why Maxi Kleber would say he's a great teammate. It's why Luka Doncic would say, I want him back. I think we can make this work. It's why, for all the things that have happened with all the other teams, you never hear players regret or blame Kyrie for what happened. And it's a fascinating thing. So they don't have any choice but to try to re-sign him. And the only question is going to be, like, what's the number going to be? If he's standing on getting a max and he's going to be unhappy unless he gets the max, you know, and then you got to get into this, well, go see what else you can get. That's the trickiest part of this. But look, overall, I'm looking at the Mavs. They need a lot of things, and they don't have the requisite assets to be able to improve this roster measurably. And that's their biggest issue. But the number one is they cannot afford to have just Kyrie Irving just walk.
You for people who don't know, Buick lives in the Bay Area. We won't give out the exact address, but you've seen this Warriors thing since its infancy.
Yeah.
They're healthy now, right? They barely pay attention to the regular season. Now they're healthy. We think they'll have Wig back for the Kings series. But now the Kings are, I don't know if they're a playoff real team, but they're a real team, and that place is going to be a zoo. Problem with Sacramento is it's going to be half Warriors fans. So what do we make of these Warriors heading into the playoffs?
Well, they are going to be as good as they've been, and they do have that postseason experience and Magic, and the Kings do not. But they're not a very good defensive team, even with Andrew Wiggins and Gary Payton back. They're going to be better. But these are two not very good defensive teams. And so I think that the Warriors obviously come in, despite being the sixth seed, I would say that they're favored. But I don't expect that they're just going to blow away the Sacramento Kings. I think that this is going to be at least a six-game series. There is the experience factor, but I think the Kings are a little bit better than people are giving them credit for. There's a reason why they finished where they did, and I think that Mike Brown, having been with the Warriors for a good stretch, has a lot of really good insight into a lot of their players and how to approach them, and whether the Kings are able to execute all that remains to be seen. But I think I expect that to be a competitive series.
Yeah. Well, then you have Clippers and Suns. There's some really good stuff. Buick, we'll talk more about it when you join me on my show. Thanks so much for joining us on the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio.
My pleasure.
It's Rick Buecher, Fox Sports 1, NBA analyst, and Fox Sports Radio, NBA insider. Coming up next in the Dan Patrick Show, the Dodgers find themselves in an unusual position. We'll discuss next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there. Put on your game face. Download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
And Dan Patrick Show rolls on. You're on Fox Sports Radio. Doug Gottlieb. And for Dan, the Danettes, my man Dan Byron. Jay Stu alongside. I'm so excited to talk about the Timberwolves and the day that they had yesterday. I'm going to have to wait about 15 minutes, guys. But, Dan, you're our resident golf expert. So, John Rahm wins the Masters, right? In fairly confident fashion, right? Brooks Koepka really struggles on day four.
Yes.
Tiger Woods makes it to the weekend at first because of the weather and then because he makes the cut, but then has to retire as he's kind of shuffling around like an old dude, right? Just really, really looked banged up, and you start to understand how difficult it's going to be on that ankle to play 4 days at a major, especially one as hilly as Augusta. What do you think, like, the biggest storyline from Augusta was?
I laughed when you said day four, because that's the only way that you can put it. You can't say final round. You can't say round three, because everything was just mixed and mashed together over the last 4 days to make sure you got the Sunday evening finish, where John Rahm wins by four in the sun. And I just don't think that that was the story. I think it's a little bit of Tiger. I think that this whole live PGA Tour thing is still there. I was in on the grounds. I can't tell you what the difference was, but I sure feel like when we talked about the cost of live golf and what that cost was going to be, and I know in working with you and all the years that I've had, you bring up the point of, you know, when you grad transfer out of somewhere, you enter the transfer portal.
You're out.
You're not coming back for a senior day or you know, like the 10-year anniversary or whatever. You're not coming back for those reunions. It's not happening. And that's what I felt like happened with Phil Mickelson yesterday. That there was – I don't know if the Live PGA Tour rivalry was muted. It felt like it was touched upon, but maybe it's gone on for a little while where it's not as much of a hot button topic that you're trying to figure out a way to coexist at a party. But I just felt that the price that that those players paid, specifically Phil Mickelson, was felt yesterday, because his round would have been the story when he didn't win. I think that the galleries, the roars, it would have been cuts to Phil Mickelson, especially with Tiger not being there, and especially with Rahm and Koepka not really dueling it out. Phil Mickelson's charge was really the story, and I just didn't get the feel that it was being pushed as the story. I thought Jordan Spieth's push was, but I didn't think that Phil's was. And that was like my takeaway. Like, Phil goes and shoots, what, 65 yesterday and finishes in a tie for second at 52 years of age?
Yeah.
They're still talking about Jack top-teading in 1998 at 58 years old. We made such a big deal about Fred Couples making the cut, being the oldest player to do it. We talked about Tiger's longevity of just now 23 straight cuts made at the Masters. I was surprised at how it felt that Mickelson's charge was almost – it felt muted. And yeah. I think that was the price of live golf.
I agree. It's a little bit, and stick with me for a second on this one. I think the parallel is what I've always said also, not just about grad transfers, but like the steroid guys in baseball, which is like, hey, we're not going to take your awards. We're not going to take your records, right? We're not even going to asterisk them. You know, we can't take your money. You made a lot of money. But we're just not going to recognize you as in the Hall of Fame. as of now. I don't know if eventually they will. Right? You just, that's something you lose. Sorry. And the grad transfer part, though, is it's perfect. That's a perfect parallel, though, which is, again, we're not saying that those times didn't happen, but it just feels icky now. You know, and even to people who say, well, like, look, we've been taking money for sponsors for a long time and people don't even realize like who's behind it. Oh, got it. Granted. I got it. Granted. But this was a direct attack on the PGA Tour, something that which had built your career. And it's funded by a government which has supported terrorism for years. Right. And regardless of how our government aligns, it was a clear choice that you made, not this whole to spread golf. And there have been some of them like, look, I think it was Dustin Johnson. Like, I mean, it's a crazy amount of money, you know, but the guys that are like, you know, I'm just doing it to spread golf. Like, what are you talking? You're not spreading any word of golf. And in fairness, you know, as disruptors, they have disrupted the tour. The tour has adopted some of their, you know, they've increased some of the pots of money. They've changed how these tournaments work, right? There has been some good that's come out of it in terms of refreshing the PGA Tour. But yeah, these guys wore the black hat, and I don't think there's any getting that back. Like, Phil Mickelson had an unbelievable day. And Phil Mickelson he went through this time where he was the guy. When Tiger was the bad, he was good. Now, Tiger's good. They cannot both be good at the same time. It's very, very interesting. Right? They can't both be good, and they can't both be bad at the same time. Like, we didn't like Tiger. Like, oh, we like Phil. Now we like Tiger. Oh, we feel so bad for Tiger. Now we don't like Phil. But he makes it easy with the LIV Golf thing. A crazy rich guy. I mean, this is who Phil is, though, right? He was making crazy money on the tour. He wanted one last gigantic contract, and he got it. It's the same guy, though, that, you know, he's making between 20 and 50 every year, and he complained about taxes in California, state in which he lives. Like, come on, dude. Like, you pay a lot of taxes because you make a ton of money. Deal with it. These are first world problems.
Yeah, and these things happen naturally. And the reason why I felt that Liv just had this, you know, this, I don't know, just this, stench is too hard of a word. It was just, it was always there. And the reason that I felt that it was always there, Doug, was actually because of Brooks Koepka. For when Koepka was having the lead and Koepka was doing what he's doing, you can focus on the tournament, you can focus on what's happening at Augusta, but there's also the natural conversation of Brooks Koepka could have won his fifth major of his career. That's a rare feat. There aren't a lot of players who have five or more majors. And when you look over the last, you know, 30 years, it's basically Phil and Tiger. You know, and Nick Faldo added, you know, his sixth in the mid-90s. That's like the group that we're talking about here.
Right. Rare air.
But that conversation was not happening when it came to Brooks Koepka. Again, it was LIV Golf. How many, you know, and LIV Golf had guys in the top, you know, top 10 of
three of the top six, right?
Three yes. Of the top six? But that's also, it's not necessarily surprising.
No, it's like, if you're going to spend that kind of money, spend it on the good ones.
Yes.
Right? It's like in college sports, back when you used to call it cheating to pay players, right? Now it's legal, I guess, so it's not cheating. People always say, like, look, if you're going to buy guys, buy the good ones, right?
Yeah.
Buy better. Don't buy bad players. Buy good ones.
Correct. And I do think that there was this thought of, all right, what happens now? I don't think that because it was a 72-hole event that affected Brooks Koepka.
That is like the dumbest.
Correct.
That's why, well, you know, Brooks, he hadn't been playing in 72-hole events, so that's why he didn't play well on day four.
Because there's no way. Because then how do you reason Phil, who plays out of his mind? You know, so all of that, you know, people will point to the competition in saying, all right, are you really getting that sort of competition feel with LIV Golf, which is legitimate. But I just felt that was hanging over. At some point, Doug, it's going to dissipate. But there's also certain things that just happen naturally, and you don't know how you're going to respond. And in terms of, you know, you sit down and you watch a game, and all of a sudden you find yourself pulling for a team that you had no dog in the fight. It's kind of organic, and it's kind of like, oh, okay, all right, yeah, I'm kind of into this because it just naturally happened. That's how I felt this past weekend happened. I think that everyone tried to mute the conflict of PGA Tour, of LIV Golf, and these players in, and tried to downplay it and make it about the Masters. And I think that they did a really good job. But the organic way of doing it, and again, I wasn't on the grounds. Maybe it was different. Maybe somebody was there saying, no, Phil got the loudest roars. All I know in watching, I just felt Jordan Spieth's push was maybe a little bit more focused on than what Phil's was. Yeah. And I just don't think that that conversation, you know, of greatness in golf, whether it comes with Koepka or whether it comes with Phil's final round, I don't think we were having that conversation or feel because of LIV Golf.
When Tiger got in his last car accident, yes, you remember we were like on air talking about it as details came out, and I thought he would never play on the PGA Tour again. Of course, once again, I was proven wrong, but a little bit proven right in that it's just when you shatter your ankle after all of those other injuries that he's sustained, I don't think people have a healthy enough respect for what your body has to go through to play four rounds, 4 days of golf. Even in, because, you know, we all think of like the Haven champs, you know, were playing golf, right? Whee! That's a peach, hun. You know, like golf is one of the rare sports where the more you drink, the better you can play. Right? These are not, and you can play well into your 80s. But to play competitively and not use a cart, yeah, that's really tough. And watching him as he was shuffling around there before he retired, I think it was the reality of the Tiger Woods thing is over. And that's what yesterday kind of signified to me.
Yeah, the guy almost lost his leg. There seriously was, all right, do we just amputate this? Yeah. And like that's and it was 2 years ago, 2+ years ago, and he's back out there playing. It's not going to be perfect. Tiger has said it himself. Tiger said he's, you know, he'll try to play the majors and maybe an event here or there, like he just played at Genesis at Riviera in February. And that's about all we're going to see from Tiger. But in Tiger's defense in coming back from all of this, because we did see him withdraw at the end of the PGA Championship last year at Southern Hills in Tulsa after the third round. Again, awful weather conditions there. I don't know how you could get it any worse than what you had to deal with in Augusta this past weekend. Plus, he was caught in the wave that had the worst of it. He was early, late on the tee times, so he had to get up. Not only that, after he had to play Saturday morning to finish his second round just to make the cut, he then has, 90 minutes to go refresh, get lunch, and then go and get ready and try to tee it up and play another 18? Like that, like it's just, It's really tough. I think that there's a question of whether he'll play in the PGA Championship.
Yep.
Because it's a month away. It's in Rochester, New York. Who knows about what weather could be like in that, you know, part of the country in mid-May. I think we all know that you never know what Mother Nature can do. So if you're Tiger, you're not going to get an 85-degree day in playing in that. And you could set yourself back a few steps and not maybe be able to play in the U.S. Open, which is in L.A. this year. So it's at L.A. Country Club. So I think, like, when you look at what's ahead for Tiger, I wouldn't doubt if he misses the PGA Championship just so he's ready to be able to play at the U.S. Open in Southern California. Just my guess.
Jay Stu, did you spend any time watching the Masters with Tiger not in it?
I did. I you know, the time I spent watching the Masters was the entire, I guess, back nine yesterday. And I actually sent Dan a text. Now, you guys know golf better than I do.
Hold on, you sent Dan a text, but not me a text?
Yeah, no, this is a very golf specific text that I sent Dan, right? So
yeah, but we have a show text, and I was expecting some sort of quirky, sarcastic Jay Stu text at any point in time yesterday. Didn't get any of them.
That's a good point. But we'll get back to that in a little bit.
Okay.
Now on 18. This is a complete non sequitur. You guys haven't discussed this yet. On 18, John Rahm hits his tee shot. I think it went into the trees or something. And then my sound was down. And then I see him drop another tee shot, like a second tee shot off 18. And then, you know, as he's finishing up the entire round and winning the whole thing, I noticed that he made par on 18 somehow. So that provisional ball that he hit, that was not a punitive thing. You could just do that in the Masters? I didn't even know you could just, like, hit a second ball in case they don't find your ball?
You could have done that on our hooky day.
Oh, I've done that many times.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. But you have to declare that it's a provisional. Basically, you're saying, all right, I'm going to play this one, and if we can't find the other one, then I will play this one, and that will be the shot that I hit from the tee will be my third shot.
Yeah, I didn't know they could do that, especially at that level, at the Masters. That's interesting to me.
Okay. That one I did know. You could have asked me.
I could have gone on the group text.
No one knows more about OB shots than your boy here, right? Right. Why? Because the question always comes up, and you guys, we've played golf together. Why do you hit your 3-wood off the tee? And the reason is, Dan Beyer, why do I hit the 3-wood off the tee?
Because you can't hit your driver?
Correct.
Yes. Well, in fairness, Doug, though, I was asking Jason, he was responding because I was asking him on what he expects from a point guard. That's why the text exchange was going on, is I was trying to pick his brain and what he likes, especially at the next level.
A couple things, too, by the way.
Yes.
At some point yesterday, Phil was trending higher than Jesus on Twitter.
Yes, I saw your tweet about that, yes.
Yeah, and then also, I personally, as a guy that's not really a golf guy, I was rooting for... I mean, I've heard this interesting discussion about Liv and everything else, but I was rooting for one of the Liv guys to win because I like chaos, and I just like things that are disrupted. I like when people are uncomfortable. So I was kind of disappointed that Rom kind of took over there.
I thought it was funny that the amateur, like right in the middle when they're talking, just got up out of his chair.
Sam Bennett, yeah.
Sam Bennett pops just right up out of his chair while they're talking.
You were talking about what's trending on Twitter. Did you think Phil's push was a bigger deal?
No. Do I think it was a bigger deal than... Yes. I mean, I thought it was a bigger deal than people made of it. You nailed it. You were right. Like, it's Phil Mickelson. You know, if you pull guy on the street, like, name a golfer. First name is Tiger Woods. Name another golfer. Phil Mickelson. Right? Like, in our lifetime,
yes.
The two most successful and famous golfers are Phil Mickelson, and he's 52 years old, and he hasn't been great, and his health's not great, and whatever. And here he is having an unbelievable round on Sunday at Augusta, and it was a story. But any other year, it's the story. It's the story. So I completely agree with you, Dan. Completely. The hottest rookies, biggest superstars, all-time greats, the only place to collect them all, Panini Trading Cards. The official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. For instant classics, autographs, memorabilia cards, rare inserts, and more, start or continue your collection now at PaniniAmerica.net. Okay, I don't know how much you guys paid attention, but what a complete poop show of a final day in the NBA regular season. Forget the Mavericks and the let's figure out how to tank the last two games of the year. We'll get to that. The late season push from the Lakers making us forget about all the rest of the year. We'll get to that. Did you guys see what happened to the Minnesota Timberwolves, who, by the way, are going to play in the play-in tournament? They had themselves a day. That's next in the Dan Patrick Show.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Owning a Mercedes-Benz EV isn't just extraordinary, it's extra easy. With full remote access to your vehicle from your phone via the Mercedes Me Connect app, the vehicles are all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. The choice is all yours. Learn more. MBUSA.com/EQ.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.